Hey, this is Malcolm Thomas, and I'm commenting on pages 34 to 36 in Paul Beatty's The White Boy Shuffle. I chose this passage because I believe that it appears at one of the funniest moments in Gunnar's childhood. It occurs just before his mother decides to transplant the family when the children refuse to attend an all-black camp because they think other black people are different from them, something which initially sounds horrible but is somewhat confirmed after they move to Hillside. Yet, in a book that kept me laughing and thinking most of the time, this was one section in which my thoughts were not coupled with laughter. The passage describes what Gunnar and his friends, to some extent, think about the subject of color on their own terms. In Miss Sedgany's third grade class, Gunnar and his classmates are inundated with the theories of multiculturalism and taught to be colorblind, something which Gunnar believes must be hard to do if one can see color. Which raises the question, is Gunnar the one missing the point, or is Miss Sedgany? Perhaps this is just one of the many moments in which Beatty has illustrated the ridiculous in modern life that Mason refers to in his article. In class, it would be nice to discuss Beatty's use of names to make the ridiculous even more ridiculous. Another example that comes to mind is the student Negritude on page 179, who Gunnar encounters in his college poetry workshop. The color associations begin innocently enough. Blue is coupled with objects that bear the color, like Eileen's lightsaber eyes, without much inference beyond that. Psychedelic is treated in much the same way, except for the claim that for the young, psychedelic is a primary color. Is Beatty just describing the mix of vibrant colors that Santa Monica offers, or is he suggesting that the youth not only possess the ability to be colorblind, but also notice hybridity? Is this why the shards of a fractured soul are depicted as being psychedelic? What do you think the book ultimately has to say about hybridity, if anything? However, when Gunnar reaches the color white, the descriptions become a little less innocuous. He introduces the concept of white Gunnar, which may initially be read as just the identity he has formed from being around his predominantly white friends and surroundings. His language seems to suggest this, since it not only emulates the white swells, but also exemplifies the surf culture that worships them. Despite this, I read White Gunnar as being Beatty's way of describing his protagonist's state of purity, since none of the other associations are necessarily racial. On page 35, White Gunnar is explained as being a broken string kite leaning into the sea breeze, proposing he has an unfettered nature. But what exactly is he free from? White is also described as being unknown or shrouded, since he likens it to walking in the fog, as well as breaking the rules. He concludes his definition of white as being the expulsion of colors encumbered by self-awareness and pigment, supporting the purity argument. But what is meant by that statement? While the definition for white is generally positive, his definition for black is negative, though none of this negativity is necessarily racial. His description embodies a sort of freedom or lack of connection, but it is less majestic and is portrayed as abandonment. For young Gunnar, black is something which he has no connection to, since he knows no black people and is only aware of black musicians and athletes. This is further complicated by the fact that the list he gives includes the white rap group, the Beastie Boys, and the fictional Melody. What does this say about Gunnar, or is it just merely a comedic device to emphasize his ignorance of blackness, which is another point or problem raised in Gunnar's definition? He speaks of trying to figure out how black Tony Grimes was, which is for the youthful protagonist a way of negotiating degrees of blackness. Grimes is able to transcend the idea of blackness and race and is described as a deracinated hero. Does this question of blackness occur in any other parts of the book, and in what ways does the book and its characters attempt to define it? Gunnar concludes his definition of black with a rough sketch of his father, a strange and complex character. I look forward to talking about him. In it, he compounds all the negative aspects of his father, his drunken anger and abusiveness, which culminates in molestation, which Beatty barely treats as noteworthy. Why is that? And might Gunnar's confused and negative characterization of black be a result of the poor male examples in the Kaufman's family history? Though we will discuss it more in class, I was wondering if at any point anyone felt that the jokes in the book went too far, or if there is any point at which you felt that Beatty's humor was too cynical to still be considered satire. Also, were there any points at which it was hard to discern exactly what was being satirized? All right. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to conversation tomorrow.